Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond just talking about Christianity to truly walking with Christ. That's a great challenge, because often there are mountains in the way. There are obstacles we face, challenges that seem overwhelming, too high to climb, too difficult to surmount. And we're thinking about moving mountains in this program. That's a title given to an excellent book written by John Eldridge. You may know John. He's written several books: Wild at Heart, Fathered by God, The Beautiful Outlaw. He's written a book that goes way back, Wild at Heart, that has touched many lives. And John, thank you for joining us.
Oh, I'm glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're speaking to us from that beautiful Colorado Springs, is that right?
Yes, I am. Springtime in the Rockies here.
Two days
ago it was snowing, and today it's going to be like 65.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? The weather's been wacky, but so spiritually, in this country, we find these variations occurring kind of dramatically, especially in our day now. We're watching our culture shift from what seemed to be quite predominantly Christian to post-Christian, almost, yeah, in some ways, anti-Christian. And there are a lot of challenges we face, not just out there, but in our hearts. A lot of us have hurts. You mentioned, I know, in one of your books that everyone has got those wounds and hurts that need the healing touch of God. So there are a lot of mountains around us and even things within us where the power of prayer needs to be operative. John, we're coming to you for some help. So first of all, why did you write this book?
For that exact reason. Just because I know a lot of dear folks have kind of given up on prayer. And there's usually a story there, you know, and it's pretty often a story of disappointment, like tried it, didn't work. You know, I guess I just, you know, I don't know how to do it, or maybe God's not listening, or, you know, for whatever reason, that they just kind of give up on it. And over the years, Stacy and I have been through a ton of hard stuff, and we've hit everything, you know, that everybody hits. Our marriage was close to divorce at one point, and we had a lot of financial debt, and we had a prodigal child, and you know, just all the things that happened, and go through a church split, and you go through some health things, and we had to learn how to pray. Mm. Like, it wasn't those quick little, hey, Jesus, you know, help me with today, amen. Those prayers weren't cutting it anymore. They weren't powerful enough to the need, and we really dug in. We really needed prayer. We needed it in our own lives and for our kids, and so I wanted to share what we learned, and I wanted to bring back some hope that prayer is like the biggest secret weapon God's given His people. I mean, it's really powerful, and I think we can get back to a confidence in that. That's why I wrote the book.
John, thank you for sharing out of your own life story the kind of thing that, well, we can all relate to, you know, the marriage struggle, the prodigal kid, the sickness, the job, the church split, whatever. I mean, we listen and we say, oh, well, I think we're being welcome to listen now. Really listen, because here's an author who's admitting what we're all experiencing.
You know,
it's like welcome to the club, the human race. You know, life is not easy. We do need God. We do need to see answers to prayer. But we also do, as you perhaps did or still do, we doubt sometimes that we're praying in the right manner, or that maybe God's really listening. Many times we don't doubt that He cares, but somehow we just don't seem to be making a connection. So you open your book with this dramatic story of the fire coming toward your home. Can you unpackage that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at the yard here. So we live on the west side of town against the mountains here in Colorado, and, you know, west of us is just forest. And several years ago, in June, in the heat of summer, there was a wildfire burning west of Colorado Springs, and, you know, we were pretty concerned because you could see this huge plume of smoke. It looked like a volcano. But they kept telling us, no, it's okay. You know, the winds are blowing to the west. It's going to push the fire away from town, and it's going to go north and west, and, you know, you're going to be okay. And then the wind shifted, and it turned directly to the east, and we got evacuated, you know, and it's one of those moments where it's grab the dog and do the photo albums and pretty much say goodbye to everything else. I mean, we just didn't know. You know, when we left our house, there was a 100-foot wall of flame that was coming down the mountain, and it looked like everything would be lost. You know, we're in a huge evacuation line, traffic jams, and so we're texting and we're calling, you know, every family and friends, everybody we know to say, pray, like, let's pray. And for 3 days, we didn't know that the whole mountainside was just shrouded in smoke, and, you know, they wouldn't let anybody close. And finally, on the third day, we learned that our home had been spared. And in fact, not only had it been spared, as we got a chance to get back into the neighborhood and hear some of the reports from the firefighters, we had the head of the fire crews was actually standing in front of our house with some of the hotshots, the wildfire crews from Idaho, and they were watching because the fire would not cross our property line. I mean, this huge wall of flame with the wind behind it, the wind was blowing at 65 miles an hour. Mm. The flames would come to our property line and they would retreat. And they would come and they would retreat. And, you know, if you visit our house now, you know, our yard is green, but up on the hill, it's all gone. You know, the forest is just destroyed. And it's not so much a story about my prayers, but it is a story about the power of prayer and the remarkable, remarkable power of prayer.
You mentioned someone told you when they were praying, they kind of saw a vision of a big angel just holding back the fire, something like that.
Yeah, right. So it was we're in the evacuation line and, you know, we're frantically sending out SOS. And one of our dear friends, who is a real praying saint, she's a prayer warrior. She's a young gal. She's in her 20s. But, man, she prays. And she texted us back and said, guys, I saw a picture of an angel over your house. I think you're going to be okay. And we got back in and we heard the stories. We realized it was that moment, that very moment, that the fire was not crossing our property line. So, yeah, beautiful, holy story.
Well, that is inspiring to all of us. And it makes me wonder, John, not about the times I can remember. Maybe if I think of all the challenges in life, God doesn't always protect me from them. And I try to add up when it seems like he did to when it seems like he didn't. But what about the multiplied thousands of additional times when I never think about whether I'm safe or not and God is protecting me? You know, to me, it's a reminder that he's always watching over us.
Right. I've just begun to change my prayers like that. By the way, that's great, because just to thank the Father, like, Father, thank you for all the ways you're coming through for me right now that I don't even see.
Mm.
You know, because unbelief just gets in, and it gets in so fast, and it really takes your heart out, because we all have the disappointments too. You know, our home was saved, but not every home was, and I don't know why. Sometimes it seems like my prayers are answered, and other times it seems like they don't. It's so easy for unbelief to get in and really discourage us, to anchor our hearts and anchor our hope in what the Scriptures say, you know, that you are loved, you are cared for, you are not alone. You are not alone in this.
You know, Christ said, not a hair on your head will be harmed. And then the disciples to whom he spoke were all martyred for their faith. They were persecuted, but he promised that too. And I think what he meant was, no one can touch you unless I allow it, and I only do what is absolutely best for you and for my glory. I love you. I love you eternally, perfectly. And when we get that worldview, as we call it, the biblical perspective, we see that this world is in a temporary state of fallenness. And yes, we're going to suffer, but he's going to turn it into good as he makes all things new. But, boy, John, it's hard to get that perspective when we're in the thick of it, isn't it?
Right, exactly. And not to give up, not to give up praying. You know, Jesus told the story of the persistent widow for a reason. And I think, you know, it's the famous parable for your listeners where Christ is describing a woman that really needs justice, and she's crying out every day to this judge, you know, to, like, give her justice and come through and decide her case in her favor. And then Jesus contrasts it, and he says, look, he says, God is not like that. Like, he's not the unjust judge. But I do understand that sometimes from a human perspective, you got to stick with it. Like, don't give up on prayer. Prayer's not something that you just shoot up like a bottle rocket. Or it's not like it's not like texting God and you just fire one off and hope he responds. Like, prayer is actually something that you stick with and you stay at it. It's far more like chopping down a great tree. You know, one or two whacks is not going to do much, gang. But if you stick with it, Jesus was saying, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Stick with it. You will see results. You will.
So in the scripture, when Christ walked to the fig tree, he cursed it. They came back later and it was all shriveled up. And then he talked about, if you have the faith of the grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved, and it will be moved. Help us understand that scripture, because I haven't seen any physical mountains move.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple things. First off, obviously, yeah, Jesus says that he's the door, but he's obviously not a door, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he's the Lamb of God. He's obviously not a sheep. So Christ often uses figures of speech, poetic imagery that would evoke like a picture. It gives you an image. It gives you a visceral, oh, I get it. It's why he tells stories, too, you know, because you get it. That sticks with you. Yeah, mountains. Right. There are mountains in my life. And the key thing in that passage is, right, he is referring to faith, and faith does play a role. Of course it does. But here's the thing. What are you looking at when you pray? Because most oftentimes we're looking at the crisis. We're looking at the bank statement. We're looking at the report we just got on our kids. We're looking at possibly losing our job. We're looking at the problem. And when you look at the problem, your faith shrinks. But if you look at God and his provision and his power and his goodness, your faith grows. That's why the scripture says several times when Jesus is praying, it says, Jesus looking up to heaven. He did it at the grave of Lazarus before he raised Lazarus from the dead. He wasn't looking at the tomb. He was looking at his Father, right? And we know that faith plays a role, but you can't just sort of emotionally go, okay, so like I'm going to have more faith. That doesn't work. But if you will turn your attention from the crisis, just turn your gaze back to God, turn your gaze back to the truth of the scriptures and what they say about God, turn your attention to, like for me this morning, it was the sun. I'm like, you made the sun. Like, you can handle my life, you know? Like, you are mighty and glorious and very, very good. You're very, very generous. Like, you gave us the sun. And if I'll turn my attention to those things that help me with God, my faith grows.
And it's interesting, he talks about that prayer of faith being like that grain of mustard seed. It's very small, but it has this potential to grow to what was the largest tree in that particular part of the country, like a big shrub. But a little bit of faith can grow, as you're saying. And that's how things start moving. Christianity isn't a slot machine, is it? It's about a relationship with a living God in which we get closer, we get into the Word and learn what he wants, and we begin praying in accordance with his will, and we start seeing things move. And it grows in that pathway if we stay true to it. Does that sound right?
Yeah, so this is really helpful, that whole idea about growing. So most people wait to pray until there's something huge. You know, you get the divorce papers. You get the diagnosis from the doctor that you have cancer, or your mom, you know, and someone you care about. And then you're like, okay, now it's time to pray. It's like, whoa, gang, hang on. Prayer is something that we learn and we actually grow into. It's something that we actually mature in and we get better at. And that's why the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray. You learn to pray like you learn a language, like you learn how to drive a car. More so, you learn to pray like you learn to be married or be a parent. You know, when you first got married, you're like, oh, this is easy. You know, and then you got into it, and you're like, oh, my goodness, I have a lot to learn. Or with being a parent, you know. Prayer is something we grow into. Here's going to be really encouraging. Start with small things. Don't take on the huge stuff. Not at first. That's just not kind. Like, start with small things. Pray about your day. Pray about the meeting that you've got this afternoon at work. Pray about the test your kid's taking at school. Pray about smaller things. And as you begin to see answers to prayer, you begin to kind of get, you get into it. You kind of get warmed up. You get the feel for it, for sticking with God and praying, staying with it. Then, yeah, then you can pray into the big things. But I think what happens is most people wait until there's some massive crisis, and then they toss a few prayers at it, and they don't see anything happen, and they go, oh, well, I guess prayer just doesn't work. And it's like, no, that mustard seed thing. Very small, and let it grow into something big. Start with small things. Let it grow you into a richer prayer life.
That's really good, really good. You know, we tend to say, well, God, he's too big for the small stuff. He doesn't care about that. And the reality is, if we think that way, it shows that actually our God is too small, because the God of the Bible is so big that he knows everything and cares about every detail of our lives. As though we're the only person alive, he cares that much for us. And as we get into that kind of a relationship where we're just walking in conversation with him, we're trusting him as Christ encouraged us to do with a childlike, simple faith. You're my Father. You're going to take care of me. Help me get this parking place, Lord, not selfishly, but help me drive better and not be rude to other people. You know, he says, I care about those things. And if we learn to be faithful in the small things, he'll entrust us with much. There are several parables along those lines, but that's a glorious thought, John. What you're helping us see is that we can just talk with him, and he lives in us, doesn't he, by the Holy Spirit. And he will help us. What does that mean to you in Romans 8? It says he helps us in our prayers.
Oh, that's actually the very first thing I pray now, is Holy Spirit, help me pray. Because, you know, so oftentimes you feel like the kid with the pinata, right? And you're blindfolded and you're just swinging wildly. You know, your prayers don't feel settled. They don't feel like they're with God. They don't feel like they're fueled by the Spirit of God. I get it, you know, but I don't want to pray out of fear. I don't want to pray out of panic. I want to pray out of intimacy with Jesus. In fact, in 1 John 5, it says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And so I want to know what the will of God is. And a lot of people, they approach prayer kind of as like making speeches. It's a one-way communication. We come in, go, Father, here's what we need, here's what's going on, please help, and then we just leave, and we don't give him a chance to speak back to us. We don't give a chance for the Spirit of God to guide us, lead us, counsel us, speak to us. And so the first thing I do before I pray is, Lord, come into this. Show me how to pray. Show me what to pray. Well, just the other morning, our kids are grown, and my adult son was having a hard day at work. I had heard via text, and, you know, I wanted to jump in and pray for him. And, you know, like a dad, I'm kind of protective, and I'm praying for his boss, and I'm praying for this, and I just felt like, whoa, hang on, John, back up. Jesus, what do I pray? What does my son need? And just very, very quietly, I just had the impression Jesus says, he needs me. And I'm like, of course he does. That's totally the issue. He's thrashing through this without you. You know, he needs you. And so I just changed my prayers. I stopped praying for his boss, started praying, Jesus, I pray for more of you for my son. Pray he'd turn his heart to you. Pray he'd encounter you today. Right? And let me tell you something, folks. You start praying more Jesus for people, they're going to have a good day. You know? Whatever else happens, like more of God, more of the presence of Jesus in their life, like what a wonderful thing to pray.
You know, I think, John, sometimes these very things you're talking about, we yearn for this, but Well, it's hard to get closer to God because we found it difficult to get close to others. Somebody hurt us in life, most likely for all of us, more than one person, and we need healing. And I know your ministry, Ransomed Heart Ministries, you help people find their identity in Christ. You help them find that inner healing. And in your book on moving mountains through prayer, you have a whole chapter on inner healing. Does this stuff really work? I mean, can the Lord come in and touch our hearts and heal us in the deep places?
It's what he's all about. In fact, the verse that Jesus chose to announce his arrival is Isaiah 61, verse 1. Right, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. Like, the thing that he is most into is healing our hearts. Because those are the greatest treasures in the universe.
Wow.
Right? I mean, without a heart, you can't know God. Without a heart, you can't love. Without a heart, you can't have faith and hope. Without a heart, you can't have passion for the gospel. Like, the first thing he wants to do is that inner healing work that we need. And the beautiful thing is, I like to think of it as sanctifying the past. Like, things happened. For whatever reason, you know, Christ wasn't with us at that point. You know, we weren't walking with him, or the people that did us harm were not walking with him. It was their sin that brought the wounding. And what we want to do is bring Christ back into it. Say, Jesus, would you come back into that and redeem that and heal that and make me whole? And for prayer, I mean, how much has our relationship with our earthly fathers affected our view of God and our view of prayer? My sons, I have three sons, and they're all, you know, young men now in their 20s. When they come home, like, they get to raid the fridge. They get to borrow my car. You know, if they need a few bucks, they can ask, Dad, you know, can you help me out? My answer is always yes. I've literally never said no. You know, because I'm for them. Like, are you kidding me? You're my son. I'm here for you. And that was not my relationship with my dad. I grew up in an alcoholic home. And it took me a long time to come around to this God as Father thing. You know, there was some wounds there that had to be healed first.
So, John, do you have recommendations for us? I know in Wild at Heart you mentioned it, really we all have those wounds. And let's talk about that now. We want to have better prayer lives. You're helping us see it's all about a relationship with God. But it's hard to really get that intimacy where we think we're hearing from God, where we trust him when the going gets tough. So we want some help, maybe with discerning what the inner wounds are and finding that healing. Is it best to go to a ministry headquarters? Is there a hotline to call? Can we just talk to God directly?
Yes.
It is best generally, though, isn't it, to have maybe more than one not just to be alone in this, but have one or more people, especially if they've been trained, all the better, if they've been trained to help us with this journey.
Exactly. Yeah, you find a good pastor, you find a good Christian counselor, you find somebody that is you know, got a calling in this area to help you find the healing love of God into those wounded places. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a pretty tough thing to do on your own. Now, God does come, you know. He'll come. And, you know, sometimes I'm just driving down the street and a song comes on the radio and all of a sudden I'm crying. And, you know, and it's a worship song and it just touched my heart and I'm crying. And the very first thing I'll do is say, Jesus, I don't know what this is about, but come into these tears. You know, and he comes, gang, like he loves you. He's very, very close. So, you know, yes, of course, Christ is always with us, but it does help in the deeper wounds of our lives. It does help to get somebody to walk with you through that.
Excellent. One final question I have about your book, and this is really back on you, John. As you talk to our listeners about moving mountains through prayer, title of your book, give us a word of encouragement, a word of hope, a word of challenge. What do you want to tell us?
You're not an orphan, and you're not a slave. You're a son or daughter of the living God. How you look at yourself in prayer is huge, gang, because if you start with, I'm a son, I'm a daughter, I'm a son or daughter of a living God, I'm going to tell you, you're going to pray different. Like you pray with confidence. You pray with boldness. Yes, you get to come. Yes, you get to pray. You're not an orphan. You're not just a servant of the Lord. Jesus says, I no longer call you servants. You're my friends. Like you are a friend of Jesus Christ. And you are an heir of Jesus Christ. You are a son or daughter of the living God. And it's from that position that we pray, not as the orphan, you know, just standing outside the city gates hoping for a few scraps, right? You're a son or a daughter. Like, just stop. Catch yourself and go, okay, hang on. Before I start praying here, I'm going to remind myself, I'm a son. I'm a daughter. My Father loves me. You do that every time you pray, I guarantee it's going to change your prayer life.
Hmm. Yeah, it's neat. The Lord gave us that prayer we all have heard of, and most of us know it. It starts, Our Father who art in heaven. It's like, get that part right first. Call him your daddy, your father.
Right.
He gives you the right to do that. And then everything else lines up because he cares.
Right.
He cares for you, and he's in heaven, on earth too, but he has all authority. Doesn't mean life will be easy. Doesn't mean every fire will be pushed away from your home, but you know what?
Right.
He's going to take care of you. So, John, I thank you. And to the listeners, I would encourage you to join us next week. We're going to bring John back on. And this time we're going to focus on his book, Wild at Heart. This has been a bestseller. In our day and age, I want to say this book, which was written several years ago, this book is more needed now than ever. And it deals with our identity in Christ as men, as women. What that means, the whole gender thing. We've got it pretty much confused today. And so we'll get into that, along with a movie that's coming out. John's put together a movie that will be probably near you. I know it's going to be in my area in May, and we're going to just talk about that a little bit as well. So we'll see you next week. John, thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm so glad to be on. Look forward to our next talk together.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. And Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. Visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com, where you can download free podcasts of all Beyond Words programs.